We have a Yadier Molina sighting. Alert, alert, Yadier Molina sighting in Jupiter, Florida, and Ozzie Smith, for that matter. And Matt Pauly is down covering things for us in Jupiter at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. What's going on, Matt?
It's been a fun morning today. First full squad official workout, and there's a lot going on. You mentioned Yadi's here. It's great. You know, when we got into the clubhouse this morning at 8 o'clock, there was not a sign of a catcher to be seen anywhere because they were out doing work with Yadi, and he was around. Ozzie's really been doing some stuff with the infielders and a lot of conversations and one-on-one moments there. We saw a lot of infield work today where it was very clear that they sit right now with Gorman in at third, Wynn at shortstop, Weatherholt at second, and Burleson at first. That's kind of the A group that's been working today. We're seeing more two-inning up and downs during these live BP sessions. It looks likely that Matthew Liberatore is going to be the starter for the Grapefruit League opener on Saturday. So that's those are the top headlines off the top of my head as I go through kind of what we saw over the last few hours.
Yeah, and I know, Matt, we talked a little bit earlier on the Chris and Amy show about what's been going on there in spring. And this officially is the first day where all the workouts are happening. And it's also that time of year where everybody's in the best shape of their lives. Who today is in the best shape of his life?
That isn't a big theme right now.
No?
And the reason that's not actually a big theme, no, because one of the things that's been talked about is this is a spring of no surprises. We talked during Chris and Amy's show about those like player plans that they did in the offseason. The coaches and everybody were out visiting players all offseason long. There's a real understanding of where everybody is at. There's not much to be learned about. So it's not like this situation where a dude's walking in and it looks like they're completely different. I will say Joel Pozo is someone who looks like he's taken off a fair amount of weight. But you're right, like generally around this time, it is best shape of my life season. But that's not really being talked about much here, and I think it's connected to the fact that there was a lot more communication and togetherness during the offseason.
Is that hands-on aspect of what you're talking about? How unusual is that?
That's a really good question, and it's hard for me to say what's going on with other organizations, but I do know it's a priority here. Yesterday, Ali spent a lot of time talking about the fact that as players, you can't reach players if the players don't think that you care about them as human beings. And I think that's part of this whole thing that they're doing. So, yeah, Brant Brown's going to check in with hitters all off season long, and he's going to make some trips and visit guys. Same thing with Dusty and the pitchers. So I can't speak to how unique that is to the Cardinals, but I can speak to the fact that I would say it's more of a priority for the organization than I think other organizations.
I think having the presence of the alumni obviously is important. You want to make that connection from the past and the greats to see what could be here, and it just creates an aura, if you will, around the field. But they also are very impactful. I mean, Ozzie's been a great influence to Mason. And Yadi, who knows? I mean, who else is coming? Have they talked about that yet, Matt? Who might be next on the list?
Yeah, so Ali talked about that this morning. He said there's going to be some surprises along the way. Did specifically say that Adam Wainwright is going to get in here at some point in time. There's been rumblings that we could see David Freese. But beyond that, there might be a name or two that pops in at some point that might be a surprise to some folks. They're not willing to say who it is yet, but there is a priority to this, and they feel like there is a ton of value in guys. It was the point was made today that the entire group got together to talk, and standing in that room was Yadier Molina, Ozzie Smith, and Jason Isringhausen. And for those three guys and for those three to have accomplished what they've accomplished, to be able to be there. You know, I was, speaking of Izzy, I was over watching one of the live batting practice sessions today. And all the, you know, they've got all the fields on the back, and the fields have kind of the makeshift dugouts behind fences. It kind of looks like a high school type field situation with all those back fields. And down at the end of one of the benches, it was Jason Isringhausen and Tink Hentz. And they were watching the live BP session together. They were I heard a word or two of what they were talking about. They were kind of talking through what they were watching. But then Izzy was saying, man, Tink, when you got this, you got to be able to do this. And you got to, you know, it was a one-on-one 10-15 minute conversation. And that can be super impactful. When I was walking off the field today, I tweeted a video of this. Thomas Ajayi and Ozzie Smith were walking off the field together, having a conversation. The Cardinals, it's such a benefit that they have so many alumni, so many high-level alumni that are willing to give their time to this organization. And if you keep your eyes open, you see these one-on-one moments happening all the time.
So Sajacy is getting some work in the outfield, and Derek Gould wrote about him and, you know, the possibility that he could end up out there during the regular season. And the Cardinals still kind of on a search for that right-handed hitting outfielder, if they can find one, and maybe that person is on the roster. So what are your thoughts on that, on Sajacy getting a lot of work in the outfield?
Yeah, him and Fermin, I think I put them in the same bucket because both those guys are trying to work a fair amount. Now, Fermin has done a little outfield work prior to this, where for Sajacy, this is kind of a first time. Sajacy's a good athlete. He's somebody that, you know, he checks a lot of boxes in terms of just, you would think that he would have no problem being able to get out there. And right now, it's just the basic stuff. He's been working with John Jay. It's not about going out there and making the spectacular diving catch. It's about going, making the plays that you're supposed to make, and then they can build from there. If they, you know, yeah, they want a right-handed bat that can play in the outfield. Those guys are starting to come off the board. Maybe there's a trade available at some point in time, but you've got these guys in camp. You can create a lot of flexibility. We've seen them do this before. You think about Tommy Edman going out to the outfield and how quickly he became a pretty high-level center fielder. So when and there's a lot of similarities, I think, physically between a Tommy Edman and a Thomas Ajayi. So I would think, unless something just falls into their lap with that right-handed bat, they're going to go down this path here for at least a little while.
How does J.J. Weatherholt look in the early going, from what you can tell?
I haven't seen a lot of him at the plate. I've seen a lot of him in the field, and it looks like he's making every play that he's supposed to make. If there, you know, there's been these conspiracy theories out there from a certain segment of the fan base that the Cardinals are coming in here and they're going to send Weatherholt back to AAA to start the season. That can't be further from the truth, and it was just proven that much more today when they put that starting infield in. It was clear that Weatherholt, they've got penciled in as their everyday second baseman. That infield, you know, they had a bunch of other infielders working on other fields and kind of moving in and out of positions, but there was one field, field two, where a lot of the main work happens, and in that field, it was those four guys working exclusively. Gorman at third, Wynn at short, Weatherholt at second, Burleson at first. I think it would take something crazy happening here in spring for them to come off that group being your opening day four-man infield.
Do they have to, or I mean, obviously they don't have to, but do you believe they have told him, hey, you're breaking camp with the team unless there's an injury or something like that? I mean, do you think they've defined that to him? Or are they just throwing him out there with the first team with the assumption that he's just going to make it?
I think it has been communicated to him that he has every opportunity in the world to make the team, but it's also been told to him nothing's been guaranteed, because nothing is guaranteed. If Weatherholt has a terrible spring and it's just very, very obvious that some more refinement is needed at AAA, then he's going to start the season at AAA. I would be very, very surprised if that were to happen, but he hasn't accomplished anything yet that it is just a given that he's going to be the opening day second baseman.
Matt, anything else on the docket that you want to discuss in terms of what's coming tomorrow? And by the way, you can hear Matt's reports every morning on Total Information AM. It's a great way to start the day. You wake up and you realize, hey, the Cardinals are working out today as a full squad. That's a great day. What do you got tomorrow?
I think the one other note that we learned today, Dustin May, they're kind of putting on the Sonny Gray program, and so he is not going to take a turn in Grapefruit League play the first time through. He'll get another bullpen session in, and then they'll reevaluate that coming through. Hunter Dobbins is throwing a little bit, but he is not yet cleared to like run and cover bases and things like that. There's going to be another like medical checkup on him at some point in the next few days. Ollie told us what day today. I can't remember remember off the top of my head. But then at that point, maybe he can start moving towards pitching in games. So I think those are the other bits of news that we learned today, if that answers your question.
It does. Good reporting, pal. Appreciate you as always. We'll look forward to your next, which is coming at 5 o'clock. You're on Rush Hour Sports. Yep. And then you got a little sports up a line. Are you following me on the coaches show tonight?
I think so. So we'll go Rush Hour, Coaches Show, Sports Open Line. Three shows, hours. Let's do it.
It's just sports crazy over here. It's a great time of year. We got a lot of sports still to discuss. Matt, great job. Appreciate you very much. Thank you.
All right, you bet, guys.
Thanks. Grant wants to know if I'm okay after the basketball game yesterday. I actually called the game on national radio. I had a blast.
Illinois, really Indiana.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Why would you care about anything? Your team just won. You know what I mean? Like,
just won the national championship.
Just won a title in football.
I'm good, dude. I mean, they lost in Champaign to a really, really good basketball team. I'm actually happy that Illinois got it going again. I mean, they can't lose three in a row. I mean, would I, as an Indiana fan, if I'm watching that game as a fan, of course you want to steal a win at Illinois is great,
Tom.
But a loss doesn't hurt you.
You're playing with house money for the next 2 years at least.
I'm loving life. I mean, you know, come on. It's a beautiful thing. We appreciate that. A lot of good comments coming in. Yeah, the Illini looked great. I mean, they really did. I thought that Boswell especially is a huge addition for them. I mean, he was hurt. He missed 7 games. He is tough. He plays great defense. He is a difference maker for that team, without question. And then, of course, they have a size advantage on most teams in the country, and they impose their will on Indiana in that fashion. We'll talk some college basketball with Bob Ramsey coming up in just about a half, about 15 minutes. Next up is Amy Markscores to talk some hockey. But first, I want to tell you about your outdoor living, and that would be your patio. How's that looking these days? You know, with this warm weather, you go out there and you're like, it is a nice day. And then you start looking around and you say, you know, I could do some things to this patio and we could have incredible parties out here. We could chill out with a cup of coffee on the weekends out here. Oh, we're having fun with listener texts here during our commercial break with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman on the Gas House Gang.
We're talking about the gentleman whose 51-year-old wife did not know who...
Amy Markscores is here. That was from the last show.
Because we had a conversation about... Well, it started with you in the office.
Yeah, my wife actually just texted me a little while ago and said, you know, that she heard the show and was...
Yeah.
It's something.
Well, we were talking about who the most famous St. Louisan who still lives here is. Mm-hmm. And we were asking, is it Ozzy? It's got to be Ozzy, maybe. Could be Nikki Glaser, because I think she still lives here.
Yeah. My daughter asked me the question. We saw Ozzy in the parking lot at Bredco, and she's, you know... said hi to him, and it's great to see him. This was a while ago, probably 3-4 years ago, when we had this conversation, and I just brought it up again to you because he showed up at spring training today. But she said, Dad, is he the most famous person in St. Louis? And I was like, yeah, I think he is.
Maybe.
But it could be. I could be wrong.
Could be Joe Buck. The texter from earlier was telling us about his 51-year-old wife who has no idea who Bob Gibson is. And when he asked her if she knew Ozzie Smith, she responded with, is that a singer or sports person?
What's interesting, I don't want to dive too far into this, but that he asked the question. So he asked the question thinking there's a chance she's going to say, yes, actually, I do know who Ozzie Smith is.
He was hopeful. What we were arguing is how do you go your whole life growing up here? Even if you didn't watch them play personally,
it's not about liking baseball.
You should still know who they are.
Like if I always enjoy. Like we go out with friends, and somebody will say, "Oh, what do you do? Oh, you're a sportscaster. I don't know anything about sports." I'm like, "Great, that's great."
Then we'd have to talk about it.
We can sit here and talk about other things that I love, like music and food, and you know all this. And but if I said, "Do you know who Ozzie Smith is?" That person, I pretty sure is going to say, oh yeah, he's the guy who like did the flips and you know,
because
Hall of Famer,
a normal human who is not so isolated in their own little bubble, a normal human picks up a lot by osmosis. Yeah, you pick up a lot by osmosis. Everything I know about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I know against my will. I don't want to know it, but I know it because you pick it up by osmosis. It is hard not to pick up knowledge of Ozzie Smith by osmosis if you live in St. Louis.
True. Now, you ready for this transition?
I'm ready.
I hope that someday St. Louis hockey fans speak of either Matthew Tkachuk, that's a stretch to say that he would play for the Note, or Brady Tkachuk, like they talk about Ozzie Smith. That's my hope, is that someday you land one or two of the Tkachuk bros and they're playing in St. Louis in their hometown, because they are tremendous.
I love the Tkachuk brothers, and I know you've got to hate to play against them because they're hellraisers. They really are, and the vibe that they bring to Team USA is 100% an old school blue collar hockey vibe, like what hockey had always been in St. Louis, you know, and what used to be across the league. They're so old school, but they're also incredibly talented. So they are scoring for Team USA. They're leading the way for Team USA in many aspects out there on the ice. They're on the same line together a lot of times, which is fun to watch them play. So Team USA, I mean, St. Louis, between the Tkachuk brothers and Clayton Keller, has a huge role on Team USA, which, by the way, they won all three of their games in the pool play, and so they will move on to the elimination round. Obviously, not a surprise. They're expected to move on, but you never want to take things for granted in the Olympics. Anything can happen, but they looked really good, as does Team Canada, who is... They are on another level, Team Canada is.
Yeah, they are.
And so we all are hoping for that Team Canada-Team USA matchup in the gold medal game. Again, you can't take the Finns or the Swedes for granted, but it's been interesting. Team USA, it takes them about a half a game to find their stride. I feel like Team USA doesn't look spectacular until about halfway through the game. And I'm just comparing that to Team Canada that comes out. They're sharp. They're crispy from the first drop. They're clean. They're executing. And they're all business. Team USA is a little bit different in this Olympics. It's been taking them about half a game to find their stride.
Who should we hate? We need to hate watch somebody, don't we?
Well, it's kind of hard to.
In the Olympics?
I guess it's just going to be, how can you hate Sweden?
No, they're too nice.
Or the Finns.
The Finns are too nice.
And the Russians aren't allowed, and that would be the team you would hate. But
that's
they're not
the
allowed
one.
To play.
Well, okay. You just need to know who to root against.
Because
we're not going to root against Canada,
I'll
are
tell
we?
You, I don't,
no,
I'm,
you can't
I've
root
never
against
loved
Canada.
Tom Wilson.
I know.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people don't.
He's a little, and not
I can
a little,
root,
he's
I can
a lot
root
of dirty.
Him. I'd love to see, now it's hard to do, but boy, I'd love to see someone get after him.
It would have to be someone from Team USA.
Mm, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
When they end up playing each other.
Yeah. Dude, didn't he fight somebody like 3 times in 10 seconds or something?
I mean, he's gotten a lot of suspensions. He had a really dirty hit on Oscar Sundquist. I mean, I love a villain. Like, I love a Brad Marchand, but Tom Wilson's dirtier than Brad Marchand. But he can also score. I mean, Tom Wilson got a Gordie Howe hat trick in the last game. A goal, an assist, and a fight. And you're also not supposed to fight in the Olympics.
He's a heck of a player, but I can hate him also.
That's right.
I agree.
Yeah.
But Jordan Binnington, looking sharp.
Ooh, man.
And were they worried about him?
Well,
Canada
I
was.
Wasn't. Tom wasn't. But no. Canada was like, Canada. Ooh, no.
Yeah.
Never worry about him on a big
stage.
He doesn't
look nervous, does he? Four Nations face-off, Binner. That's who we're seeing right there. And how about, whenever I think of his name, I think of that one tweet that said, what the hockey bros call when your parents split. Dvorsky.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dalibor.
No, that's not. Don't.
That's what it said on Twitter.
Yo, it was going through a Dvorsky, bro.
It was one of the funniest memes I've ever seen anywhere. Anyway, Dalibor Dvorsky with the winner for Slovakia, and that's a fun one right there.
He's
a young Blues player.
Yeah. He's looking great. I think this international play is such good experience for your young players. Team Canada has had this with players like Macklin Celebrini, who was able to play at a very young age with Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon. And so I love having Dalibor Dvorsky out there, 2 goals, 2 assists. Pew Suter got a goal for Switzerland, which is nice. Hopefully all the Blues that are out there killing it in the Olympics can carry some of that back to Enterprise Center, because they look good and you know they're having fun. It's great on Dvorsky, and I believe Slovakia's advanced as well.
What a great experience for them, really. You know, so can't get any better than that.
Can I, for hockey fans, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to read you the Canada's power play.
Oh, no.
Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Cale Makar, and Sam Reinhart.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair. The level of talent, you have three of the top four NHL scorers on the same power play unit. And a lot of people are saying this reminds them of the Dale Hawerchuk, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux Olympics.
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a sight to behold. And if you love the sport, it really is great to just watch greatness, you know, like the Dream Team in with the basketball team. It was just incredible. And Makar, man. Just Makar alone is great, but then all those MacKinnon and McDavid. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Fun to watch.
What's next for you hockey-wise?
We have Offside Hockey at 6 p.m. on Matrix Midwest on Wednesday. Per usual, we'll be me along with Chris Kerber. We will be discussing Olympic hockey.
We love Kerbs. Tell Kerbs hi for us.
I will.
Amy Guys. Mark scores with us.
This is a sad bit of news.
What's wrong?
Two iconic sports films, The Natural and Days of Thunder. Robert Duvall, who was in both of them, has passed away in 95.
He was a great actor.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love him in Days of Thunder. He's awesome in that film.
Yeah. He was awesome in everything
95,
he was in.
95, man.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Good for him.
We're going to take a quick time out for a weather and break, and then we're going to go to Bob Ramsey, the voice of the Billikens, and we're going to talk more sports as we roll along on the Gas House Gang. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, James. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Chris. And we will be back right after this. Welcome back. Twitter's down. I don't have to look at the comments like this. The guy who like copies and pastes every single day that KMOX posts something about the Cardinals, he has his copy and paste ready to go about he's not going to be able to enjoy this, and he won't watch the team on TV, and he won't buy the package, and he just won't do it. Well, then don't do it.
Fine.
I'm not going to tell you to do anything. Why do you have to paste it every single time? All right.
Just listen to the station. I'll tell you what, you can protest the Cardinals by not watching, but you have to listen to us instead.
My goodness gracious.
Listen to Rooney and Ricky and Claiborne.
Yeah. I mean, they do an incredible job. An incredible job.
So we were wondering what the Associated Press poll would look like, and the Billikens have not moved.
They are still number 18. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
They are 17 in the net. They are 24, I believe, in KenPom. I'll look that back up. But I mean, they're despite the schedule that everybody had been criticizing them for early, they're still doing pretty well in all of those rankings and polls, which is very good news for them.
Yeah, they look great. I mean, all things ahead of them right now. Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We welcome in the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey. Good afternoon, Rammer.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, all the rankings are kind of holding steady, which is expected. You had a week where you only played, you know, one game, and it was the last place team. You handled your business. That was all good. So I think everything's steady. I think KenPom checked me on this. I think moved to 23.
They're 23, Torvik, yes.
Torvik is another one of those that are kind of popular, but I got to be honest. I look at it, and I have no idea what it means, but except that he has us at 22. And so if it's good, I like it.
I am with you. I just like seeing wins, and they stack wins. That's for sure. They play Rhode Island tomorrow night. You'll have the call at 6 o'clock with Earl Austin Jr. It's kind of been the same story over and over again. Billikens have a target on their back. Teams prepare for them. They go hard at them. Team kind of, you know, struggles through the first part to get separation. And then in the second half, it's like they figure it out and boom, they're gone. I mean, you can't catch them. And they end up winning by 20 or 25 points. I mean, it's amazing what SLU has been able to put together here lately.
Yeah, and that scenario, as you describe it, does happen, seems like, more often than not. Rhode Island is a scary opponent. I think they're game under 500 in the league, something like that. So kind of middle of the pack, but their season's not over. And what's weird about them is they'll jump up and play a really good game against a good opponent and win, and then turn around and play terrible against a horrible opponent and get beat. So they're very hard to figure out because their coach, Archie Miller, he's a heck of a coach. They have a nice building. They have what appears to be all the support you would need. And maybe it's Miller just kind of rebuilding. But they're scary because you don't know really what you're going to get night to night from them.
12 years ago, the Billikens won their 19th straight game, or they won 19 in a row. That is a program record. If they win tomorrow at Rhode Island, they will tie that record. You know the players, and certainly the coaching staff is aware of this record, but is it the kind of thing that they have to, you know, just mentally forget about, not think about? Because when you're chasing something like that, you know, I think you can kind of tend to get into your own way, right?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And Coach Shirks has been pretty consistent in not getting caught up in those things, embracing, you know, he talks about embracing where you are in the moment, but understanding that there's more to do, that there's still ways you can be better. And that's what every level they hit, he wants to use that as a jumping off point to get to the next level. And I think that's a really healthy way to look at it.
Tomorrow's game against Rhode Island, Rhody, as they call them up there in the Northeast, and they've had some sneaky good games here and there. I mean, they beat George Mason, yeah. Rammer. I mean, they beat them pretty good, too, 74-65 back on January 24th, and they won at Dayton. So it's a team that you have to obviously take seriously. They can get you at times, and they can be well coached.
That's the thing. As I mentioned, they're kind of inconsistent. But part of that inconsistency is occasionally being really, really good. So I know Miller and that team would love to get the top dog and knock him off the pedestal. He's a very competitive guy, a really good coach, an accomplished coach. And so, yeah, I think that'll be a real challenge. One of the things that makes it hard to accomplish that is who and how do you guard the Billikens when you've got half a dozen guys that can shoot the three, two or three of them, high volume, high percentage. And you say, well, we're going to take away the three. Then you've got three or four guys that are very comfortable driving to the rim and, you know, going inside, inside 3 feet, inside 5 feet, and being very successful there. So it's really difficult. Keep an eye on stats that can kind of measure where you are even in a game. Rebounding and preventing offensive rebounds. So defensive rebounding, really, really important. Turnovers, as you mentioned, you know, rough starts turn into great finishes. You know, 8 turnovers in the first half at Loyola, but only 2 in the second half. So those are the kind of things to kind of keep an eye on. What you can't figure out is who's going to be the top 2 or 3 guys that get red hot on a given night. You know, Sharma and Green the other day with some help from Brady Dunlap, and it could just as easily, you know, turn around and be Robbie Avila and Kellen Thames. You know, you just don't know who it's going to be, which is a good thing as teams try to prepare for the Billikens.
6 games left in the regular season. 3 of them will be at home. 3 of them on the road, still looking at games against VCU, Dayton. George Mason will finish out the season with SLU. So what is your take on the remaining games they'll play through March 7th?
Really a gauntlet. And people will look at the records of Rhode Island, and if the Billikens were fortunate enough to win, you say, oh, well, yeah, they were down in the standings, no big deal. It's still a road win, a conference road win. It's good. And then the other games that you mentioned, I mean, this is really a grinder. And it is set up to be very, very challenging. A few weeks ago, it looked like George Mason hosting the Billikens on the final day of the regular season could maybe even decide who was going to be the league champ. It doesn't appear that that's the case right now. But that last day, though, get this, It's Mason and the Billikens, VCU and Dayton. Those are two games on that final day. So schedulers kind of had an eye on who they thought were going to be good when they put it together, which I think is perfectly fine.
I'm really pumped for that VCU game. I'll be there with family. We're going to sit in the seats and enjoy that atmosphere. It's going to be incredible on a Friday night. Rammer, last thing. I'm just really happy for you, and I know I'm not alone. I mean, I hear this everywhere we go. We talk about the Billikens. People all over the place are happy for Bob Ramsey. You've been around this team now for 40 years. And I could go so far as to say, with a hat tip to the rest of them, this might be the best team of all of them. And I wonder if you hear, the story's not over yet, but it's got to be the best team of all of them. I wonder if you hear from other people around the country who share those feelings about what you're going through after all the teams that you've seen.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. And thank you for saying that. And, you know, it's funny. In a world that seems divided all the time, if you give people half a chance, they're pretty nice. People are really, really pretty doggone nice. And I'm appreciative of all the accolades, but really it we're talking about a college basketball team that has St. Louis on their chest. They're the college team of this town. And, you know, we've been up and down over the years. It seems like every era has a handful of really good teams. If this is the best one, that's great because they still got a lot of work to do to achieve that. And so if it turns out to be that way, it's pretty awesome. And they certainly could end up being that way. But along with the regular season games that you mentioned, the conference tournament, and then probably the NCAA tournament. Still a lot of work to do to achieve that best team we've ever seen, certainly in the modern era. So, you know, we just got to enjoy the ride. One game at a time, like coaches always say in a trite sort of manner. But I think for us and fans, that is a great way to look at it. Enjoy the ride. And once it's all said and done, hopefully well into March, that we'll be able to sit back and look at it and put perspective on it.
Yeah. A month from now, that NCAA tournament is going to be just about ready to start. We will have just gotten past Selection Sunday, and we'll know what that field looks like.
Let me ask you guys before we go.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are of the Billikens playing in St. Louis?
I think if they run the table, it's 100%. I think that
wow.
If, yeah, I do. If they're 30,
right.
Let's say they're 33-1, there's no way you keep them out of St. Louis. That's ridiculous. But if they
awesome.
Trip up here and there and they make the tournament and they slip in there, then I don't think they have that. I mean,
if you end up like an 8 or 9
yeah.
or lower, you're probably not getting that
it's
benefit.
It's a little too much of a boost. I think Illinois has a great chance to be here.
Yes.
A really, really
so
great
too.
Chance to be here. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting, isn't it?
But just the thing, no matter where they play, to turn on TV or listen on KMOX, but to see the visual of the Billikens walking out for that opening tip in the NCAA tournament wearing those uniforms, mm-hmm. like, and you know the other team's like, oh, man, let's just try to survive this thing. Because if you don't game plan, if you don't know them well, you have to face them to understand what you're going up against. Anyway, I mean, it's just going to – just thinking about it, we got a lot to go until then, but thinking about that is absolutely amazing. I have no idea what's going to happen. I love talking with Bob Ramsey. Just a quick recap of the show so far with Chris Ronji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Yadier Molina and Ozzie Smith in camp. Matt Pauley had a great breakdown of the Cardinals, who are – getting a little bit closer to their first game. It'll be on Saturday. In fact, we have three games going at the same time on Saturday in our building. We need it's what we call all hands on deck.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Cardinals at 12:05. It'll be on 104.1 FM. We have SLU Women's Basketball. I'll have that one at 1:45 pregame, 2 o'clock tip. That's going to be on 11:20 AM. And then what we're going to do is... the Cardinals game will be over by, let's say, 3, and we'll join that in progress. So 104.1 FM will then have both. But it's going to start with, just be prepared for this, because we're going to start doing this a little bit here and there. It'll start with the Cardinals and the Billikens both being on 104.1 FM, if you think about it. Then at 1:45, there will have to be an announcement on 11:20. that we are now leaving for Billiken basketball. And you'll be guided to 104.1 FM. There's no other way to do it. You can't have 11:20 a.m. just playing nothing.
Right.
You know, so
it doesn't make any sense.
It's a spring training game, but I think people will still be, I'm just getting you ready for that. It's just a change so we can split the signal. We're able to do that and have two different things going at once. And then Y98 FM, 98.1 of the FM dial will have City. They're playing City their first game.
Opening the season.
Yeah, all happening. We had Amy Mark scores in studio talking hockey, about USA Hockey in particular, and a great conversation with Bob Ramsey about the 18th ranked St. Louis University Billikens. Illinois dropped from 8 to 10 in that AP Top 25, and that's because they lost a couple of games. They fell to Michigan State, no harm there. It was a tough loss in overtime. They're a little shorthanded in these overtime losses. Lost to Michigan State on the road. They lost to Wisconsin at home, and they did not like that at all. I mean, they let Wisconsin have too many offensive rebounds. They made it a point to be more physical against Indiana, and they absolutely did. They pulled away in the second half, and they won 71-51 yesterday. Kylan Boswell back is a huge lift for Illinois. They're loaded with talent. They have size everywhere. They can shoot the three. They can rebound the ball. They're tough defensively. They're well-coached. That is a really good basketball team. And Brad Underwood said before the game, he said, my number one priority is to be healthy for the NCAA tournament. So he's playing this smart. Andrei Stojakovic missed the game with a sprained ankle. There's no reason to push it. They're going to need him. But a healthy Illinois team is scary in this tournament.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'd like to end up with a one seed when they get to the tournament. The KenPom and the Net both still like them a lot, you know, 5 and 6 in the rankings. So I know that when it comes down to it, they'd like to be a top seed. But I mean, if you're a 2 seed, still great, right? I mean, you're not. Yeah. I don't think it's the kind of thing that you beat yourself up over it just to get to that one. If you're a number 2, you're still looking really good going into the tournament if you remain healthy. And if that's the goal, then that's exactly what they should stick with.
Yeah, and I was there yesterday. I was able to call the game nationally on Compass with Danny Green. It was great to see the Illini and all their fans, their broadcaster, Brian Barnhart's one of my favorite people. We got to catch up. Steve Kelly, who's been doing their hosting for a long, long time, was there. Illinois has to go on the road now, and this is not easy for these Big Ten teams to go out to the West Coast and play consecutive games, but they'll see. They should be able to get through them at USC, at UCLA. But then, oh, baby, that Friday, February 27th game against Michigan is going to be a dandy at the State Farm Center in Champaign to wrap up the month. So that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Michigan up to number 1 now.
Yeah, I mean, that will be just awesome for Illinois. I don't know if they can catch Michigan and win the Big Ten, but that game, regardless, is going to be incredible. As for Mizzou, just inconsistent, and here they go. They stumble at home against Texas. They just don't have it. They don't have the flow that you need as a team to get to this tournament. I hope I'm wrong and they can turn it around, but the eye test doesn't have it for me. But next year, they have a recruiting class that is special, that is coming in, that is going to be game-changing for Dennis Gates and the great Mizzou fans who deserve it, and Columbia. I mean, that place can be hopping next year. But maybe they can put it together this year. Who knows? The Gas House Gang, we appreciate you all very much for joining us. For Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. DGS is next. Thanks to James O'Sullivan, Drew Young. Thanks to Amy Markscores and Matt Pauly and Bob Ramsey. Big show tomorrow. Bernie Miklas is going to be with us.
Our guy.
The news is next.